know, 14-year-old me wouldn't believe it, because it's all I thought about when I was a teenager. I looked forward to going to bed at the end of the day because it was like my time to imagine myself on stage, which I did every night. So because of that, I believe in the power of manifestation. I mean, I never heard that word when I was 14. I don't think that was a trendy thing back then, but like looking back, I like really imagined this into real life.
Today on the show, we are joined with Ash Costello of New Year's Day. Currently, New Year's Day has a brand new album that's available everywhere right now, titled Half Black Heart. In this talk, we learn about the making of it, how Ash manifested her teenage dreams to life, some deep reflection on overcoming anxieties, her WrestleMania moment playing Rhea Ripley out in front of 75,000 fans, as well as some talk about her super fans. And she leaves us with advice for some younger folks who are aspiring singers that also dream of one day becoming a rock star of their own. So yeah, let's get into it.
Hi.
Hey Ash, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
Good. Great to meet you.
Very nice to meet you as well.
Yeah, such a big week. Congrats on the album drop and everything.
And yeah, crazy.
Yeah, you used the word crazy. I've seen some of you and Nikki's schedule of like interviews, and I know you've been nonstop. So like, first off the bat, like, how are you feeling? Like,
gosh, life is crazy right now, because not only am I like just put out an album, we're prepping for the Lacuna Coil tour that's coming up, and I'm moving out of state like tomorrow.
So things are nuts. Moving's the worst.
It's a pretty big move, so there's a lot of moving parts.
Well, strength and vibes to you. I hate moving, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
I put lipstick on just for you.
Oh, thank you. Around this album, right off the bat, great job to all of you. One thing like I really admire about, or the most about your band, is just kind of the ability to have these catchy melodies, but also the contrast of the heaviness, you know, and it's just like kind of the blending together, and it just sounds clear. And this is like just an album that feels really good to crank full volume and everything. So I kind of want to I know you guys kind of adapted the style over the years, and kind of what's it like when you guys get together and you're putting these songs together? Does it start with a hook, or does it start with a music, or?
It's always different. You know, sometimes it starts with an idea I might have, or a riff or a lick or a chorus that I've heard that inspires me, or just a wild sound I have in my head, or a lyric that I like is really resonating with me that I need to put into song. Sometimes it starts with the music. Sometimes it starts with a song title. And sometimes it starts with me. Sometimes it starts with our guitar player. And sometimes it starts with the songwriter / producer. So really, we're kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. And even like listening to this album front to back, like, these tunes feel like they should be like an arena. Like it's like written for like a huge scale like that. And I see you doing the temple tap for people listening to the audio version of this. And I think what is also cool is like, I kind of went back and watched some like interviews of you in the past. And there was one you were talking about the beginning times of you being a singer and almost that first practice of you being super shy and asking people to like cover their eyes as you were like singing to. And I just want to know, like, you're obviously like doing these big tours, and like, do you ever like think of that little girl like nowadays and like how much you evolved?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Especially in the moments where I feel really, sorry, my dog is like, why are you so icky, buddy?
I love the cameo. What's his name?
This is Barnabas.
Barnabas? Oh, what a cute
dog. This is Barney. He's my old man. He's a rescue. He's about 13 years old. Hi.
Hi, Barney. Thanks for joining the interview.
Very noisy. Sorry about that. So,
it's okay. No problem.
He's always next to my side. He like never leaves my side. So yes, I think about that a lot, especially in the moments, which I've had a lot of in the past couple of years, of like, you know, 14-year-old me wouldn't believe it, because it's all I thought about when I was a teenager. I looked forward to going to bed at the end of the day because it was like my time to imagine myself on stage, which I did every night. So because of that, I believe in the power of manifestation. I mean, I never heard that word when I was 14. I don't think that was a trendy thing back then, but like looking back, I like really imagined this into real life. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to do this. So yeah, I think about 14-year-old Ashley all the time, especially yeah. when we step on stage in like, you know, an 8,000 person arena and the lights go out, people cheer, and I'm like, all right, 14-year-old Ashley, let's go show them what we got.
Yeah. And what would you say, like, over the years, like, I guess, like, through that time you evolved to, is there any, like, key conditioning you did, like, either, like, mentally to kind of, like, break these barriers and continue to step out of your comfort zone?
I don't think anything conscious. I think just pushing myself all the time just built a strength and a confidence. Like, it made my confidence bone really strong. I mean, I don't think we're ever fully all the way confident. But like, there's been times where I've been in situations where I was like, why am I here? How did I get myself into this? I wish I hadn't, you know, because mm-hmm. I have to push myself and it's uncomfortable and I don't want to. Like, for example, when I was on the set for American Satan, and I'm not an actress, and there's, you know, Andy Black and Bruce, why can't I remember his last name right now, from Asking Alexandria. And and just, you know, all kinds of amazing artists. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why did I sign up for this? I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
No, but you know, you push yourself and you get it done and you go out the other side and you go, that wasn't so bad. Like, I did it. You know, I need to stop doubting myself. And it just grows over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's cool, like, if somebody was like listening to this, and whether they're like an aspiring musician, actor, or whatever, to hear people like on your level, like, talk about the human side of things and that things are possible. Like, you can do it. Like, we're all human and still get nervous. Yeah. And even like, I noticed like a theme of like a lot of the artists I talk to, from like musicians to comedians, recently on a lot of interviews, people have been saying like the moment before they step on stage, even at the highest level, they get a wave of nerves. They want to like run away. And then you do it and it's just kind of like the first note hits, or you hit your first joke and it just like blackout, like, amazing.
The moment you made me think of, the moment, the scariest moment of my life, which was stepping out at the Buccaneer Stadium in Florida, which is about 75,000 people, to play what is essentially a show as big as the Super Bowl for WrestleMania.
I was going to ask you about this too. So this is awesome. Yes.
I that was the most nerve-wracking day of my life, without a doubt. You know, besides like illness and death in the family, the real life things, and we're talking like at that aside, you know, it was the scariest moment of my life because it had rained all day and we didn't get to go on stage and rehearse. We didn't get to sound check. We didn't get to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, please, if there is a God, please don't let me fall. Don't let me forget the words. Don't let me accidentally step into where the pyro is going off.
Oh, that's scary too, especially being on the stage.
They didn't tell us where the pyro was. Oh, no, or when it's going off. No. No one told us anything. And, you know, thank goodness I saw when Rhea did the fist bump. I happened to be looking left, so I didn't leave her hanging on multinational, worldwide television. Mm-hmm. So, thankfully.
Yeah. And even I think what's cool too is there's a blog from WE about that moment too, of Rhea's perspective and hearing her equally as fucking nervous as you coming out there. And even her talking about her growing up as like a teenager and listening to your band. So having this moment, you guys play her out. And she was like saying, oh, I came out at the wrong cue. Like, she was like so nervous.
Well, because no one told us anything. Yeah. So like, she came into our dressing room and we played the song and rehearsed the stomp, but we were like, we don't really know how long they're rolling it for. Like, when the pyro's going off at one point, we're like, we're just gonna go out there and make it happen. And yeah, she missed the cue, but who cares? She's a badass.
Oh, hell yeah. And even like, she was huge like then a couple of years ago when you guys did that. And I know it's like right now she's turning into like this viral sensation where people who aren't even into wrestling know who she is from her TikToks and like just how she has fun with fans and everything. And I think that's cool that you're part of like this legacy and everything.
She's a rock star. She always was. You know, when I did the theme song for her, she was starting out in NXT and she maybe had, 50,000 followers. Now I believe she's at like 10 million or something now. But I just, love that she was a metal fan. I loved that she could bridge the gap again between metal fans and wrestling fans, much like, Motorhead and Triple H. And I feel like there was a lack of that in WWE for a long while. So she's really pioneering bridging the gap, which is great.
Yeah, and even I was like thinking about like the legacy of WrestleMania and all the musicians they have. Like you mentioned, the Motorhead, they had like Limp Bizkit, and it's like seems like a lot of like due representation, like beyond like you, and I think like Nita Strauss did it. There's not many women in like maybe like in the 80s they had Cyndi Lauper. So how does it feel to be like one of the few women like kind of like leading the music and stuff?
It's an honor. It goes down in history, and no one will ever be able to take that away from me in New Year's Day, and it's an incredible thing.
Yeah, and it's totally badass. And speaking of things that are totally badass, one of your latest videos, Vampire, I think is just totally awesome.
Thank
And I
you.
kind of want to get your perspective of maybe like recording it and like being in front of like a green screen like I am now, and then your reaction of when it's all done and like seeing yourself like chopping these vampires in half with like a sword and stuff like that.
Well, I'm a bit of a control freak, as I
Okay.
think most leaders of bands and artists are. And so I had to really let go of control for that music video, which is very hard for me because I just had to trust the vision of Mateo, who is the visionary director behind that entire video. Normally I'm painting props and standing behind the monitor with the director telling them how I want it shot. So for this, it was just like, I guess I'll just stand in front of a green screen and hope that you make it awesome. And I mean, obviously he did, but it was very weird. He had me running on a treadmill, holding a sword that was very heavy in goth platform, looking forward and emoting. And I ate shit two or three times. Like
Oh
I'm surprised I didn't break anything. And he was getting so frustrated with me. He's like, come on, Ashley. And I was like, I can't. I was like, I literally, my arms were shaking. Like, I can't hold this sword anymore. I was
Yeah,
like,
it
not a prop sword, jeez.
especially like wearing like the platforms or whatever and on a treadmill and
A
trying to
very
look
small
cool
treadmill.
as well, like
Yeah.
that sounds
It
insane to
was
me.
horrible. It was my nightmare, but it turned out really good.
It's cool like to kind of hear like those layers, like because we all see like the finished product and I know there's so much going into it, and even yourself putting your trust in somebody to like just do it right and everything.
It was hard. And so like the moment where the monster kind of at the end where he kind of sweeps over my head and I lean back and then, swipe him with the sword. That was Nikki. Nikki was the monster.
Oh,
So
cool.
I
I didn't know that.
fight Nikki, my guitar player, and we kept laughing. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, can we have someone else do this? Because I can't. Seriously.
Oh, that's so awesome. And yeah, it's cool to hear you're going on tour with Lacuna Coil as well. That's a band I've enjoyed like so much, and like especially like I don't know if you guys are you guys coming to Canada on that tour or
No, I don't think we're leaving the country, sadly.
Okay, tier for me, but yeah, if you're in the States, go check that out. And yeah, definitely like I always felt like Lacuna Coil is like one of these bands I've listened to for like 20 years, but I've never seen them live. So
Me
maybe if you
either.
come around like the New York area, that's like a bit of a drive for me for Canada that I'll probably go check it out.
We would love to have you.
Awesome. And I wanted to ask you, are you still doing the clothing line thing?
No, I'm too busy. I mean, I would love to do it, but I started that clothing line around the time that New Year's Day was kind of starting to take off. And once we got our touring schedule, it's like I couldn't give it the attention it and quality it needed because I was gone all the time. So I had to kind of set that to the side.
Oh, okay, yeah, and it's understandable like how busy you are right now and
People ask me about it all the time. I mean, I would love to bring it back. I just need cloning technology to advance maybe a little bit.
yeah, maybe a bigger team or something. Like it's got to be hard when you got like all these like different opportunities to pick and choose, and you got to like hyper focus on things and stuff like that.
Oh,
Yeah.
absolutely. And I'm the queen of taking on too much, so Sometimes I'm told, like, reel it in.
And it's cool to see like a lot of stuff from like different fans, how passionate they are about like New Year's Day and like legacy. And even you, I'm seeing tattoos on people of you. And like, how does that like make you feel when you like see like a tattoo of yourself on somebody?
It never gets old, I'll tell you that much. I don't know. I just, if we go back to talking about little Ashley, where I have this journal that we, I have a box of memories in my parents' house, and whenever we clean out the garage, we always find this journal that I had when I was 12. And I remember writing down, if just one person likes my music, just one person, I'll be happy. So the fact there's people out there tattooing lyrics and portraits and art and signatures on them is like, anything after that, I just superseded anything I ever hoped I would do.
Yeah, that's got to be such a cool feeling. And do you ever see like at shows like girls dressed like you doing the hairstyle or like
Yeah, all the time, all the time.
yeah,
All the
that's
time. In fact, I even hear about it from my friends and other bands. Like, we thought we saw you. Like, yeah, I was at the barricade rocking out for you.
Yeah. And to keep the red and black hair split, like how often are you dyeing it? Like
Too much, too much,
do...
too much. I always say someday, when the band has run its course, I'm gonna go all black again because that's, my natural hair color.
Oh yeah, and much easier to do it
It's
that
like
way too.
a pain in my butt.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it looks cool. So kudos for the effort you put in for that. And again, like if
No one
girls are
appreciates
like,
enough.
yeah, well, it seems like girls are like copying your style and everything, and that's cool. Like how much of an influence you are on people. And
Yeah. It is really
yeah,
cool.
And I guess like as a final question too, like say there it was like a little girl like listening to this who dreams of maybe being a singer or is already singing now, like just to herself or in like a small band in a garage. Like, would you have any advice for them to take it to like the next step?
Yeah, I would tell her the same thing because I get asked this question a lot. I don't know why I became kind of a beacon of self-confidence. Because I'm just like everyone else, I struggle with self-confidence. I even taught classes about it when we were doing Warped Tour backstage to the younger girls and guys. And I'll say the same thing I've always said, which is, you have to first and foremost learn to be your biggest cheerleader. No one owes cheering you on. You have to cheer yourself on always. And don't be hard on yourself if that's not an easy thing to do, because it's not easy for anybody. And once you can master that, you can master pretty much anything.
Awesome. Yeah. And yeah, it's just so cool. And I think like people look at you that way because they see you doing it. And also like when you are doing interviews, you're just very candid and real. And that's something like I think I just really appreciate it. And obviously your fans do too. So that's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And thank you for your time. I know you gotta move.
Yes.
Man, again, best of luck with that. And yeah, again, I appreciate you so much for your time. And yeah. Hope you have a good day and goodbye to Barney in the background.
Oh, there. Bye.
We'll have him sign us off. Thanks, Ashley. Have a good day.
Bye.
Once again, biggest thanks to Ash Costello. I really love this talk. And like we mentioned, New Year's Day, the album Half Black Heart is out now. And if you live in America, stay tuned for that tour with Lacuna Coil. I was really vibing with his chat, and I hope you did too. One thing I love about these segments is hearing the different layers on people's journeys. You know, being a fan of a band or a filmmaker, or actor, comedian, we see the finished product. We see a lot of what's on the surface. But to get there, there's an incredible amount of work. And yeah, it's even inspiring me in my own ways. And this week, we got the opportunity to put in some awesome work and some awesome promotion as The Creative Imbalance is coming to Comic-Con Friday, March 17th. I'll be at the Canadian Podcast Awards booth from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Can meet me. I got a little raffle going on. Doesn't cost you anything to enter. And yeah, hopefully meet some new people who haven't heard about the show. Really trying to push the YouTube version of this. So if you guys are listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, or any of your favorite listening apps, and you got a YouTube account, please go over there. hit the subscribe button. I'm very close to reaching my last requirement to get this monetized, and I need about 60 more subs, and one of those could be you. And also, you get to see Ash's dog, Barney. He's a cute little scruffy guy, and I love his little cameos in this interview. So yeah, do it! And also, like always before we go, we can't leave without thanking all you legends on the Patreon page, taking that extra step to support what we're doing over here. And first up, the biggest thanks to Mike Carniello of the Testing with Mike YouTube channel. If you're into electronics, technology, how they work, and most importantly, how to fix them, check out Testing with Mike on YouTube. Another big thanks to Amanda McKnight of Top 10 Nerd. Not only is she the host of Top 10 Nerd talking to millions of subscribers, she's got her very own YouTube channel that you should definitely check out. Soak in some good vibes, learn about comic books, video games, movies, and all things nerdy. Just type in Amanda McKnight on YouTube. Another big thanks to the wonderful Jenny Potter, the legend Devin McBride, back-to-back double impact Allens. First up, the number one gent Alan Kent, and big wig Alan Briggs, who went the extra mile and subscribed to our upper tier, giving us an extra couple bucks a month on the Patreon. Appreciate you. And another big thanks to our favorite soul singer, Saber. And last but not least, Francis Coffer, aka my mom. If you want to shout out at the end of every episode and also get these episodes early, raw and uncut, right when I'm done the Zoom call, I just post them. You can go to patreon.com/thecreativeimbalance. And beyond having my thanks, you can just go to bed at night and sleep soundly, knowing you're a badass motherfucker who supports raw, uncut, independent media. And nobody can take that away from you. You hear me? Once again, we got a busy week, lots of episodes coming your way, and we'll catch you next time. Ciao.